On the night of January 23rd at 8 p.m., I was dispatched to the vicinity of Big Run and Gantz Road to investigate some bright objects that were hovering in the sky in this vicinity. Upon my arrival, I confirmed that there were two bright objects in the sky, and confirmed this with the radio man. Upon confirmation of the articles being present, the radio man advised myself and Prairie Township policeman Ed Durbin to stay on the scene and observe and keep track of the movements of these vehicles. From time to time during this sighting, the objects appeared to move back and forth in the southwest section of the sky. From time to time, it's necessary to leave the vehicle to make closer observation of the articles in the sky. When we first arrived, the articles appeared to be a pretty good distance away. We were looking at these at an approximate 45-degree angle from the point on the ground that we were located. These objects would be 45 degrees angular elevation in the southeast portion of the sky. Upon first sighting the two objects, they were hovering motionless in the sky. I got out of the car to make a closer observation, and at this time, we will refer to the figures that accompany this tape to explain the direction and movements that these vehicles made at this time. The solid black horizontal line on the graph paper represents only a means to show the relationship of these two objects to each other while they were making their movements in the sky. The four vertical red bars represent the old approach lights to Lockhorn Air Force Base, which were in sight at this time. Starting with figure number one, the two objects were at about their farthest point away from my partner and I, and at this time they appeared to be a yellowish or dingy white light with the halos around them in the sky. At this point, one, which I refer to as Unit A, was higher in elevation than the one that we will refer to as Unit B. Sky on this particular evening had a very heavy overcast, not permitting the stars or the moon to shine through them at this time. These two objects were the only two objects visible in the sky that evening. Figure 2 shows that the object we refer to as Unit B moved at a very fast rate of speed, or high rate of speed, upward to become the higher of the two objects. The speed involved here was almost to the point that it was almost impossible to watch with the naked eye. The starting movement was visible, but once it would gain momentum, it was very hard to follow with the naked eye. When we arrived on the scene, it took approximately 3 to 5 minutes for these objects to make their first move. Their standing still appearance led me to believe that the objects may have been either balloons or helicopters until this first movement was made. After the first movement, I had to discount the idea that it was a helicopter or a balloon. In figure 3, object number A, object letter A, made an upward movement and appeared to gain the same elevation or altitude that object B had. Upon reaching this same plane as object B, both objects remained motionless in the sky for approximately 2 to 3 minutes. Figure 4, Unit A moved in an easterly direction, and this movement was made with the same speed that was mentioned before. As the vehicle would start in a direction, the starting movement could be detected very easily, but as it gained momentum in this particular move, it had so much speed that I couldn't follow it with the naked eyes until it did reach its destination, which was approximately directly over the top, or appeared to be directly over the top, of these old approach lights for Lockhorn Air Force Base. This could have been directly over, or it could have been behind, but I'm almost certain it wasn't between the runway lights and myself at my observation point. In figure 5, the first movement, or downward movement, was observed by my partner and I. At this point, he didn't move with this blinding speed that I speak of before. It more or less left the appearance that he could float, or it could float down toward these approach towers. Again, I have to say, I don't know whether this hovered directly over these towers or somewhere behind these towers, but it did have the appearance that it was over the towers at the time. While these movements were taking place by A, B remained stationary, motionless in the sky. After the object A appeared to be hovering over the approach lights. Period of time here would be several minutes. It started in an upward movement, but toward the southeast, represented by figure 6. This time the object did not make a direct move on a straight line as the object had previously. It started at one angle and then broke off, which is illustrated in figure number 7, and headed almost due southeast at this time until it reached the same elevation as object B. And at this time, they resumed their same relative positions as they did in figure 3. The position illustrated in figure 7 was maintained for approximately 2 to 3 more minutes. And then with this blinding burst of speed, they moved in an easterly direction. This time they were moving together, which is illustrated in figure 8. They moved at the same speed, which was this blinding speed, hard to follow with the eyes, until they assumed a position which again appeared to be directly over the top of these approach lights for the base. At this time, when they became directly centered over the top of these approach lights, they stopped and hovered motionless for a period of maybe another full minute. During these maneuvers, there was no sound present as far as the sound that would lead you to believe it was coming from these objects. There actually were no other sounds such as airplanes or any other type of aircraft that could be heard during this sighting. Figure 9 illustrates that units A and B descended. This was the same floating movement as I described earlier. There was no great burst of speed involved in this. At the time these objects finished their downward movement and appeared to be hovering over these towers, I received a transmission from the radio room that Loughran Air Force Base had been notified of these objects. I was told to stay on the scene and keep them advised of movements and so forth. The position of these two objects, as shown in Figure 9, they stayed in this position for approximately 5 to maybe 7 or 8 minutes. They made no attempt to leave during this period of time. Then we noticed sounds from jet airplanes coming into the area. They were coming over our left shoulder from the northwest, going toward the southeast. It left the impression that they were more or less coming over to investigate or to see what these objects were. And at this time, as shown in Figure 10, Unit A left with such a burst of speed, it was just a fraction of a second, that he was completely out of sight. And during this movement, B made no attempt to leave at all. He still hovered over these towers, appeared to hover over these towers. Then in Figure 11, which was just a split second later, B made the same movement that A had earlier. Both of these objects disappeared with such great speed, they grew very small in a very short period of time because they were going away from us. This appeared to be at about 45-degree angle. It was out and upward. Jets that I am speaking of were not visible at this time. This would have been more or less due to the cloud cover, I believe. The only way that we had to judge approximate location of these jets was to guess how far ahead of their sound that they possibly might have been moving. They only made the one pass or direct line toward the two objects while they were still visible, and gave them, as I say, the impression that they were going to see what these two objects were. The only time that these objects appeared to change shape were in their close-up and their distance positions. The distance positions in this situation, I consider the high positions, and the close-ups would be when they were hovering over the towers. They appeared to be almost perfectly round at their distant location, but as they came down toward these towers, they took on an oblong shape or an egg shape, more or less. Not so much as like a platter or the proverbial flying saucer, but just an oval shape would be a better way to term it, I think. Concerning the color of these objects, at a distance, they had the faint yellow cast to them, like an ordinary light bulb, only a bright light, but it had a more or less a dingy cast coming from it. But at the closer positions, took on a very, an extremely bright light, almost to the point where it was a bluish white. and it left me with the impression on these closer positions, it left me with the impression that had these lights been, say, half as close as what they were, half again as close as what they were, they would have been actually too bright to look at. In the shape of these objects, I couldn't say that they had a definite shape that could be explained, such as framework or something like this. It was just a light in two different shapes. Like I say, I could not distinguish any outline or shape due to the fact that the light was so intense. It left me with the impression that the light was coming from within the object rather than a light that may have been attached to the object. They appeared to be under intelligent control as far as their movements, the way they could move. They seemed to move with definite purpose. In comparing the size of these objects, closest point, the objects appeared to be a size that could be covered by holding a nickel up at arm's length and would have been covered by a nickel at arm's length. At the farthest point, say, as the position they were in when we first arrived on the scene, they could have been covered by a dime held at arm's length.